You have sound? Good. We'll pray and we'll get right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for your grace. Father, thank you for your mercy. Father, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, may you help us tonight as we delve into the word. May you illuminate it. God, we cannot hear your word unless you touch our ears and touch our hearts. Thank you for the training center. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and this vision that you've given him, that all of our lives can be affected in a great way and we can reach our potential. Thank you for those that are here on campus, Father. Also, thank you for those that are watching by internet. Bless their families. Father, may this holiday season for them be as joyous and as fruitful as you designed it to be. We give you glory and honor. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for paying the ultimate price. Thank you for giving us the privilege that we can discuss your word uninhibited, without shame, and righteousness. We give you all the glory, Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We still have some tests. The exams are still open for people to take. So let me explain this to you because I didn't realize this was happening. When you take the exam, we asked for this feature last year because, believe it or not, you know, you do have cheaters in this training center. So last year we asked for this feature from Haiku. And what it does not let you see the results of your test until after the test is closed. And that's from revealing the answers and somebody going, take the test on Monday and then come back, tell somebody who ain't take it till Wednesday the answer. So that's what is happening, you will see check marks all along, but your grade doesn't seem like it add up with the check marks. Well, what they're doing is the check marks are telling you you answered it. It's not telling you whether you answered it right or not. All right, so that's why. And of course, again, I am going through the test at the end, and I'll be able to make those changes if necessary. But those that are watching by the net, the check marks are just letting you know, which is good, that you did submit an answer, because the worst thing in the world is to take a test and submit it. Yeah, exactly. So the worst thing in the world is to take the exam and not know if you submitted your answer. So the green check let you know you submitted it. I think the exams close tonight. I think they close tonight. Well, tonight at midnight, well, you'll be able to see your scores tomorrow. All right. So I just wanted to explain it. I didn't realize that was happening until I started getting these emails. And I sat with Diana. I was like, Diana, you know, me and her started talking. She's like, this is what's happening. And I forgot we asked for that, for them to add that feature. So that is what's going on. So the check marks do mean something. They mean you are answering your questions, all right? And which is good to know, all right? Tonight we'll be on chapter 10, The Purpose of Covenant. I really do hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving. Yes, sir. And we're looking for to get a few classes in before the Christmas holidays kick in and we begin to have fun for the holidays. This is my favorite time of the year, so I'm excited about this time of the year, and I hope you are. In this purpose of covenant, understanding the purpose of covenant is very important. We're going to go through seven things that show us the purpose of covenant. The number one thing covenant does, it will eliminate betrayal. It will eliminate backstabbing. It eliminates everything that will stop us from joining together to accomplish the will of God. That's number one, all right? So if you would, turn me to John, the 13th chapter. I want to show you something here that Jesus did in this 13th chapter of John that was very significant. Since the creation of man, since God created man, Satan's whole objective is to plant discord, disloyalty, and dishonesty among people. That's all he did with Adam and Eve, was to create disloyalty and betrayal between them and God. God told them, I'm giving you dominion. You can have everything you want in this garden. Just don't touch this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the reason why God didn't want to touch that tree of knowledge of good and evil is because, number one, he wanted to be the one to lead them into discovering good and evil. All right? Because remember now, God was going to have to let them discover what evil was, because the ultimate purpose of man was to be fruitful and multiply. Not to have more children, but to learn what was supposed to be done in the Eden and go into the darkness and begin to multiply what they had experienced. So God wanted to bring them along and teach them that. But Satan came along and planted that seed of distrust, that seed of disloyalty. In other words, you're not going to die if you eat of this tree. You're going to become as God. You're going to be just like him, when we were already made just like him. All right. So here it is. The purpose of one of the main underscoring purpose of covenant is to get rid of discord, to get rid of disloyalty, and to get rid of the backbiting and the distrust. All right. Now watch this. Watch what Jesus did in John, the 13th chapter. John, the 13th chapter. Let's see. I don't know if I want to read everything. This is the story about Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. And he's meeting with the disciples the last time before, other words, we know it as the Last Supper, all right, before he goes to the cross. Let's see, go to verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. All right, you see this? One of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked on one another, doubting of who he spake. Now there was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do it quickly. In other words, Jesus was telling Judas, whatever you had in your mind to do already, or whatever you had been exposed to, whoever planted this into your mind, you need to go ahead and do it quickly. Because Jesus really said, we need to get this process going. I need to get to the cross. All right? Verse 28, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Verse 31 is very important. Listen very carefully. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, ye are yet a little while am I with you. Ye said me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you. Here it is, a new commandment that I give unto you. This is apostolic. Jesus is now at this moment walking in the office of an apostle, because he's about to lay down some heaven-sent, heaven-given, ordained law. Are you seeing this? He said a new commandment. This is a commandment, other words, have never been exposed before. Man has never seen this commandment before. But here Jesus is about to lay it down to his disciples. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Wait a minute. Here it is, Jesus giving a new commandment, saying, I need y'all to love each other as I have loved you. Now, the reason why this is a new commandment is because all before the cross, this was impossible. This was impossible to do. We could not love each other as Christ loved us because the love of God had not been shed abroad in our hearts by who? That's Romans 5. See, so it was impossible to do. So here it is, Jesus giving them this commandment. Watch this. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Therefore ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not by how spiritual you look. Not by how many religious acrobats we do. But it's by how we love each other. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, and if ye have love one to another. Now I need you to notice something. Jesus gave this new commandment after he got rid of the betrayer. He did not give, listen to me tonight, he did not give this commandment until he got rid of anybody that would try to sabotage this. Are you seeing this? See, Jesus wanted to make sure that this new commandment is the key that unlocks everything else happening in your life. You cannot even get to Matthew 6:33 until you do this first, until you purpose to do this. See, if you're not planning on being in covenant with your fellow brothers and sisters, then ain't no sense you seeking God. Because God also said in 1 John the 4th chapter, how you say you love me and you whom you can't see, and you don't even love your brother whom you do see. Are you seeing this? So notice Jesus, this commandment was so important to Jesus. This command was so apostolic. It is setting the house in order. It was so divine, so prophetic, that Jesus wanted to get anybody out of the way that was going to try to bring any hindrance to this being established. Are you seeing this? So Jesus said, gave his commandment, love that you love one another, even as Christ loved us. Now, again, I said that was impossible until Jesus went to the cross. Because until Jesus went to the cross and went to heaven, we could not get the Holy Spirit. So if we couldn't get the Holy Spirit, that means the love of God could not be shed abroad in our hearts, because it was the Holy Spirit that is doing it. So Jesus gave a commandment that was until then impossible to do. So now, on this side of the cross, we see that it is possible to do. So tonight we're going to go over these seven steps, or these seven purposes of covenant, so that we can see how we'll be able to do these things. Purpose number one for establishing covenant relationships, or for the purpose of covenant, is for a relationship of intimacy. Other words, we cannot come into covenant with our own self agenda, our own self motivation of what we want. We can't come in trying to manipulate how we can get the best out of a relationship for us. You must allow God, listen at me. This is why it's so important that you understand the law of seed time and harvest, and that it becomes real to you. Because God must become your source. If God does not become your source, then you will not be able to enter into any relationship without seeing what you can get out of it. But when God is your source, you can freely give yourself to whom God has connected you to and not worry about what you're going to get out of it. Why? Because God, why do you think the scripture says do it as you're doing it unto the Lord? Because God is your source. When God becomes your ultimate source and your only source, then you're able to freely commit without worrying about if you're going to lose. Is that making sense? See, the world system is so thrown off with, I need to get something. All right, if I do this for you, then you're going to do this for me. But when God is your source, then you can freely commit, knowing that God is now responsible for what you get. Is that making sense? We must come into covenant relationships because we desire to take the existing relationship to the next level. There are three steps that we must go through before we get to covenant. You must have already walked through acquaintanceship. We talked about it this last time we were together a little bit. I didn't talk about it in this facet, but I mentioned it. I talked about Jonathan and David, how Jonathan heard about David killing the bear, how Jonathan heard about David going to get that sheep from the lion. But Jonathan firsthand witnessed David killing Goliath. So that's why it was easy for Jonathan to come into covenant with David. Why? Because he had walked through these three stages. First, it was acquaintanceship. In other words, he became familiar with David. He learned about David. He knew who David was. Number two, he befriended David. Number three, and they fellowshipped. So after doing those three things, now he was able to say, I'm willing to lay my life down for this man. Because I've seen, watch this, I've heard, but I've also seen the fruits. So I'm not connecting to my pastor or to my man or woman of God because a bunch of people connecting to him. I'm connecting because I see something, and I see something in them that's going to help me get to the next level. And I see something that God is trying to get them to do, and I want to be a part of it. So my connection is not based on other people's feelings and other people's excitement. It's based on my convictions. Why? Because I've gone through acquaintanceship. I've gone through friendship. I've gone through fellowship. Now I'm ready to take the relationship to the next level. It's just not a happenstance thing. Please don't let it be based on your feelings. Because your feelings are going, you never forget this. I might have said this before, but I need to stress this again. Your feelings are nothing more than indicators. If your feelings are telling you what you've been thinking, or your emotions. Your emotions or your feelings, how you feel, is only indicating what you've been thinking. You should never make decisions off how you feel. Never make decisions off how you feel. You should always make decisions based on the Spirit of God and what He's telling you to do, because your feelings change. Your feelings change by the second. Now, something that's fickle, you can't base your life on something that's fickle. You're okay right now. Now you're not okay. You was happy this morning. Now this afternoon, you're sad. You can't just change your way of living because you were happy this morning and this afternoon, you're sad. So if I'm sad, that means I've been thinking something that's causing me to be sad. So now I got to go back and find those thoughts. I'm getting to our next class. I'm sorry. That's next year. I can't let you get too much of that. Are you understanding? So you don't connect based on feelings. See, this is why we have to, especially the African American church, we have to get away from an emotional driven service. Because a lot of times we go to an emotionally driven service. Listen to that, internet. We get to an emotionally driven service and we get excited about what God can do, but we don't find out how God wants to do it. So we leave out excited knowing God can do something, but we forgot to hear the instructions on how He wants to do it. So we move out on feelings and Satan comes right in and suck them feelings out of us, and now we left empty. Is that making sense? So it can't be based off of whim. You can't make connections with anybody based off of women, based on how you feel. It has to be based on what you know can be produced. See, I'm not going to tell nobody how to raise their kids. I'm still in the process. I'm not going to tell nobody how to raise their children. I got three kids. I'm still in the process. So I'm going through this. You understand? So after I go through this and you look at my results, then I can probably tell you something. But if I ain't got the right results, I ain't about to come tell you how to do it because I ain't do it right myself. So same, that's with anything in life. If resources, money, finances, healing. If you ain't never seen this person or anybody get healed in their ministry, you can't teach me about healing. Because you have no fruit. Listen, Jonathan heard about David do two things. But then Jonathan saw David kill Goliath. When everybody else, David has something on his resume that nobody else had on his resume. So Jonathan said, because he had this on his resume, this is somebody who I'm going to lay my life down for because I see results. Is this making sense? Watch this. Those who have not walked in intimacy with God in a covenant relationship would not desire a covenant with you. Anybody who has not walked in intimacy with God in a covenant relationship would not desire a covenant with you. Those who understand the power of covenant realizes that the opportunity to enter this level of relationship is worth grabbing. You have to value covenant relationships. It can't just be a casual relationship. It has to be something of value. It means something. So therefore, when it means something to you, you prioritize it properly. Are you seeing this? Covenant brings two people into a level of intimacy and closeness that allows them to cooperate with each other for strength. They become not just mutually beneficial to each other, but as the intimacy increases, it provides a greater place of safety and protection. Those in covenant are passionately consumed with each other's welfare and well-being. Are you seeing this? I'm going to do a lot of reading because I want you to see this. I know you can read. I know this. But as I go over this, we'll be able to allow, sometimes hearing it audibly and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us will make it resonate better. All right? So don't think I'm just reading because I ain't got nothing to say. I'm reading because this stuff is important for you to know. When there is a maturity of covenant, there is an unusual level of relationship that is deep and meaningful. Listen to this. We can sup or hang around with those who are prepared to pay the price for covenant. You willing to hang around those people? I can't stand hanging around somebody who's not willing to give as much as I'm willing to give. I have a problem with them. I have a problem. I can't hang around them because I'm gonna get upset. Ain't no sense in me getting upset. You just stay in your place. I stay in mine. You go your way. I go mine, and that's it. Because nothing it makes you more frustrated than somebody who talk the talk, but don't want to walk the walk. Watch this. Jesus loved them to the end and gave them the commandment to love each other to the end. To the end. Let me show you something about covenant. A lot of people, especially theologians, they big on numbers and they like to study things out. And when they study things out, they bring that out. And some good information, but some of it ruins people. Like one number. Elisha followed Elijah for 17 years. So a lot of people think that 17 years is the threshold in which now they can get a double portion. But if you remember and go back and read that story, Elisha cried out and cried out saying, don't take him away. He didn't want him to get cut up in that whirlwind, on the chariot, on fiery chariots, cut him there. He didn't want him to. He didn't want him to leave. And that's even after he got a double portion. He said, I don't want him to leave. Because Elisha was committed to Elijah for life. He was committed to Elijah till the end. Not just till he got the double portion, but until the end. Until Elijah had finished his course. The power of such a level of relationship provides strength to stay together and finish to the end. Only a covenant relationship gives us the strength of intimacy so that we can stay connected and committed till death do us part. Let me tell y'all something. Right now. There are going to be some people, whoever you connect to, your man or woman of God, whoever you're connected to, there are going to be people that come and people that go. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. Listen, if your man or woman of God does everything you like, you ain't being helped. Growth comes from challenge. Growth comes from accountability. You ever heard the statement, growing pains? You know, some teenagers, sometimes some young people, they as they begin to grow, they begin to have pains in their joints sometimes. Growing pains. That's because now they're being caused to be expanded in a way that they have to be challenged. Their physical body is challenging their skin, challenging their cartilage, challenging their bone. You got to move. We can't stay the same size. So if you're connected to a man or woman of God that does everything you like, you will not grow. You will stay the way you are now. You've been in the same place year after year after year. Having said that, there are going to be some times when your man or woman of God tells you or commands you or gives you instruction to do something that you didn't want to do. Right. So at that moment, you can't make your decisions based on how you feel. Now y'all get what I'm saying about your feelings. See, don't make your decisions based on your feelings. You need to make decisions based on what you've been, your facts, what God has told you to do. What God, so if you, watch this now. I'm going to tell you a secret now. I'm going to give you a secret. If you ever hear instructions from your man or woman of God that doesn't agree with you, stay quiet. Don't discuss it with anybody. Go to your prayer closet and begin to ask God about it. Because if God gave them those instructions, then God gonna come and confirm them. Because God is not the author of confusion. God is not double-minded. God knows what he wants to do. So get quiet. Don't discuss it with anybody. Because promise you, there's probably somebody around you who's ready to discuss it. Don't discuss it, because what discussion does? Discussion creates thoughts. And when discussion creates thoughts, it begins to change how you feel. Now, here's how you accurately use your feelings. Your feelings are fuel for you to accomplish the will of God. That's what your feelings are for. They fuel you in accomplishing the will of God. So therefore, sometimes you're going to have to change your fuel. That's why the Bible says Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove or recognize, that's another word for prove, is recognize the good and acceptable will of God. Are you seeing this? So if I hear everything I like, I'm not growing. So there are going to be some times in covenant that I'm going to hear some things that I don't like. There's going to be some times I'm challenged and I don't want to be challenged. So the secret is I don't get to complaining. I don't communicate with nobody. I keep my mouth closed and I go to God. And I let God talk to me. Let God help me rearrange. Because watch this. Here's what we have to learn to trust God. Because if the instructions are wrong, God will not only talk to you, but God will talk to your man and woman of God. And we have to have that type of relationship, that type of trust, to allow God to run this thing, not let us run it. The second purpose of covenant is for an increase of promised blessing. Turn me to Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis, the 15th chapter. And the very first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Translated, "I'm your protection and your rapidly increasing money supply." That's what he's really telling Abram. Now, watch what Abraham asked him as soon as he said that. He said, "Lord, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. Lo, one born in," listen to that, "one born in my house is mine heir." So watch this now. Watch this. Abraham's first concern after God told him, "I'm your protection and your rapidly increasing money supply," his first concern was, "How can I get this to continue past me?" That was his first concern. How can I get this everlasting favor to go past me? Now watch this. He said, "Lord, I don't want it to go to somebody I don't want it to go to somebody that doesn't have the same love for you that I have." That's why I don't want it to be Eleazar. He wasn't born in my house. I brought him in. But I wanted to be somebody born in my house. Covenant relationships allow you to have blood transfusions and allows you to become part of a family that you weren't destined to become part of until God puts you there. So whoever you come in a covenant with, God is already planning for an increased promise of blessing. That's why God has to become your source. When God becomes your source, you can come in a covenant freely, not wondering what you can get from that person. Because it don't matter, they don't ever give you nothing because God is my source. Abraham wanted this reward to continue to flow even after his death. That's why God asked him about Isaac. Abraham asked God about Isaac, about him being born. When a covenant has been established, the desire to do the best for each other becomes the order of the day. Increased promise of blessing. God showed his favor with Moses as he had his loving kindness pass before him. Exodus 33, verse 17 through 19. God promised that his presence would go before Moses, and not just an angel. See, God said, I'm going to make sure this happens myself. I'm not going to send a messenger. I'm going to make sure I do this myself. God's favor, presence, protection, and provision are all released upon us as we walk in covenant with him. His favor, his presence, his protection, and provision. That's why God has to be your source. You have to let God know, "God, you are my source. See, most of us figure if we just go through the motions. No, you got to let God know, God, you are my source. So it put God on notice that, God, I'm giving all of myself to what you've connected me to. So now God knows I'm responsible. I can have them. Those who walk in covenant desire to outdo one another in promises, as they are no longer living for their own self-interest, but for the other partner's well-being and interest. We shower our partners with goodness and find ways to be a source of blessings to those whom we love and care for. An increased promise of blessings. That's one of the purposes of covenant, is to put you in a position for you to receive everything that God has planned for you. That's one of the purposes. And you can't receive it outside of covenant. You can only receive it in covenant. The third purpose of covenant, this is very important. The third purpose of covenant, this one is very important. The third purpose of covenant is for the continuity of the message or the continuity of the agenda. Other words, we have to be saying the same thing, going in the same direction. That's how momentum is built. One of the reasons why, so much foolishness is entering into the church is because there's no continuity of the message. Everybody got their own interpretation. See, the way it's supposed to happen is God was supposed to reveal his plans to the apostles. And all the other four of the fivefold was to take note from the apostles and begin to walk in their various offices, helping to establish what God is revealing to the apostles. So now what you got now is you got apostles on every corner. You got apostle this person. Listen, apostle is not just a sent one. I know y'all learning this in the culture, in the culture of honor. This is not just a sent one. An apostle structures doctrine. Are you kidding me? An apostle structures doctrine. In other words, an apostle is building on a foundation that Jesus Christ laid, as the Bible says, no other man can lay. An apostle helps build on that particular foundation, which means God begins to give the apostle insight to his word and begin to lay out the doctrine, and the four of the fivefold begin to expand on that doctrine. So now watch this. If that's the case, if apostles ought to structure doctrine, then there ought to be less apostle structure and doctrine. Because you're going to get confusion if you got too many. So that means we got some caught walking around calling themselves apostles, but they ain't apostles. This is me. You can take this and you can leave it. Looking at the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a process of growth in every last one of them. An evangelist is a person who goes and just preach about Christ, preach about the cross, and witnesses. Got it? A teacher is a person who's able to take the word of God and explain it and get revelation and explain it and cause it and give applications to people. Pastor is a person who grows and can love people and watch this. Take the apostles' doctrine and begin to establish it in geographical locations. That's what a pastor does. A prophet can see into the future. A prophet is also known as a seer. So a prophet can see in the future based on the doctrines of the apostle. God sometimes gifts people to be able to understand the doctrines of the apostle that he's establishing and be able to see what's going to happen next. Come back and tell us so the pastor can prepare the people, the teacher can teach the people, and the evangelist can bring more people in. Oh, you see how we're supposed to work together? So the apostle is the one structuring the doctrine, right? So here it is. I believe that you got to first go through the evangelistic stage. If you call the fivefold, then you're going through the teaching stage. Then you have to go to the pastoring stage. Then you have to go through the prophetic stage. You're able to see into the future before you ever become an apostle. Why? Because all those stages gives experience. There's no such thing as an apostle with no experience. There's no such thing as an apostle that don't have no fruit. There's no such thing as an apostle that don't have no miracles happening in their ministry. It's easy to see if a person is an apostle or not. It's easy for you to see. First question is, where your fruit? Give me some miracles. I forget the title. Because if you really got the fruit, then other people going to recognize who you are. Y'all seeing the danger of titles? See, you apostle structures doctrine. So as an apostle structures doctrine, that means, listen, one of the greatest doctrines that ever been structured by an apostle is the way we get born again. It wasn't Jesus that structured that. It was the apostle Paul. Y'all, you don't ever go, nobody ever goes to the gospel when they get somebody born again. No, you're going to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Why? Because Paul structured that. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, this is how somebody can get born again. That was Paul structured that. Jesus established it. Paul structured it. Is that making sense? So it's dangerous for somebody to be going around hollering about they're an apostle. Because when you say you're an apostle, that means you have the authority to structure doctrine. So it's important that the message have continuity. So that means there has to be some kind of consolidation of these apostles. Because the reason why foolishness creeps into the church is because people are trying to define the word of God and interpret the word of God in the way that it fits them. Not the way that God intended it for, but the way that it fits them and their ministry. That's why you got gay bishops. I'm just being honest. That's why you have all this stuff creeping into the church. This is why you have people taking a soft stance against homosexuality. Because they're trying now to please people instead of standing for righteousness. And do you realize, I know this is going to be harsh to say, but you're going to realize this when I say it. Everybody has choices. And there's some people that just won't go to heaven. They just don't want to go. That's their choice. That don't mean that I got to bend over backwards. Or let me say it this way. Bend outside of righteousness to try to convince them that they need to go to heaven or that they need Christ. Matter of fact, that's not even our job. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So what we got to do, we have to learn how to walk in covenant with each other. We have to learn how to hear the voice of God. We have to learn how to work together. And when we begin to do that, that exemplifies Christ. And then those who want to be a part of that will be attracted. Is that making sense? So it's not some having a continuity of the message. In other words, we saying the same thing. We might not be saying it the same way, but we're saying the same thing. Is that making sense? I ain't saying you got to sound like somebody else, but if you sound different, and this person sound different, but you got to be saying the same thing. How you think that the Peter, Mary Magdalene, all the people in the New Testament, how do you think they were able to recognize Jesus? The Holy Spirit revealed Jesus to them, but there had to be something in the foundation of history that let them know that he was coming. So the old patriarchs kept that same message alive. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Isaiah, he began to prophesy. The Messiah is coming. Begin to describe him in different ways. All through the Old Testament, the Messiah is coming. So when Jesus showed up, there were people that had been listening to that message, and when he showed up, they were able to recognize him. Why? Because of continuity of the message. See, covenant allows us to be on the same page. Not everybody doing their own thing, trying to create their own segment, trying to create their own circle. But it's all of us saying the same thing, going in the same direction. Without that happening, there's no way we can win the world, because there'll be so much confusion. And Satan loves confusion. He loves it. Watch this. We need to be men and women who fear they are a part of our man and woman of God. We need to be those people that hold up their arms. You know, we need to be the people that when they're tired and when they're not watching their back, we need to be the ones watching their back. Are you hearing me? We need to be the ones holding up their arms. What I mean holding up their arms? Wherever we are in this world, wherever we are, we standing for righteousness, just like they're standing for righteousness. Whatever our man and woman of God is standing for, that's what we're standing for. Continuity of the message. The message and assignment that God has given to our leaders must become our message and ongoing assignment. The team that followed Paul knew that the depth of commitment was not just to man, but also to the move of God through the man. That's a great statement. The team that followed Paul knew that the depth of commitment was not just to the man, but also to the move of God through the man. Don't be one of these people I'm about to tell you about. Many in our churches, and you can recognize them, because I said this last time we were together. I want you to be so well trained that you recognize these people. Many in our churches are connected, but they are at odds against the leader when God takes him or her in a fresh direction. They're connected, but as soon as God changed directions, they got a problem. Timothy was so intimidated by the opposition that came against Paul that he withdrew himself from standing with Paul and a message of the gospel of the kingdom. Timothy got scared. Paul had to send message to him and say, stir up the gift that is within you that I put on you by the laying on of hands. The message of the cross was a stumbling block and a rock of offense to those who were resistant and to those who were perishing. Ending on this note, and we'll continue there next week in chapter 10. God is raising a new company of pastors and leaders across the earth who are accurately connected in covenant and aligning their doctrine with wholesome accountability and spiritual covering. That's powerful. Accountability and covering. That's what helps us keep the continuity of the message. Y'all have a good night. We'll continue that next week.